No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
A few days ago, when the Chicago Bears president, Arturis Karnasova, was interviewed, he said that the Bulls already had their offensive identity. And that raised a lot of questions from Bulls fans asking, what identity do the Bulls really have? I want to talk a little bit about that and the roster that the Bulls are building and the type of identity that they're trying to forge offensively, but they still cannot overlook defense. We're going to talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And I want to start this episode off. We're going to get into the mailbag. It's mainly going to be built around your voicemails. We've got a couple of first-time callers or rare callers in there that I want to mix in, but I want to start off with this identity thing, right? Arturis was interviewed and he said that the Bulls have their offensive identity. And, you know, here's the thing with that. And I know a lot of Bulls fans heard that and immediately thought, how do we have any identity? We won 39 games. And I understand that. I want to be clear. Nobody is wrong in saying how much of identity can you really have without winning. And I think that the conversation is that is the difference between identity and culture. Every team has an identity. Even teams that are bad and that suck have an identity. Their identity happens to just be, at that point, bad basketball, right? Whether it's bad defensively or it's bad offensively. And stylistically, an identity, right? Now, there are teams, of course, that are trying to forge that and haven't really had that set in yet. And therefore, you know, it is what it is. But culture, to me, is more about when you start winning games and you lock in a winning-type culture, because you can have several different types of identity, but a culture stays the same. And one thing that I think about with that is like Greg Popovich. The Spurs over decade, basically, had a winning culture, but their identity on the court actually changed quite a bit. If you look at from the beginning of the Tim Duncan era to the end of the Tim Duncan era, they had several different on-the-court identities, right? Now, all of those were winning because they had the roster to do so and a head coach in Greg Popovich that developed really well. And so that was part of their culture, and the identity on the court was able to shift. The Bulls, I think at this point, have locked in on a style of play that they want to have, an identity that they want to have offensively. And that is playing fast, getting out in transition, attacking the bucket, taking more three-point shots, right? Now, within that, they have some wiggle room in how that can change and evolve as your players evolve. And you have a lot of young players on this team, right? You still got, you know, several young players that are under 23 that you still have to look at and mold and see how they're going to turn into. But at the engine of that offense is really Coby White and Josh Giddey. That has been the engine of this team offensively with the style of play that we established last year. I think even early in the season where Josh Giddey wasn't necessarily playing well, you had Vooch rocking and rolling at a high level. Zach LaVine, you know, was still getting his lion's shares of the shots because they were trying to market and move him. that even Kobe and Giddey were still important to the engine of the offense at that point in time. Just Giddey to a lesser extent. He was kind of more maximized after Zach LaVine left. Kobe White was a little bit more consistent as he was somebody who was around, and he didn't start off the season with the injury like Josh Giddey did. And I think you're looking at those guys right now as the engine of your offense, meaning that most things that start with the Bulls are going to start with them. That also comes to some of the shortcoming for the Bulls as far as in the half court, where the Bulls have struggled at, right, at times, especially when we face a zone defense. We struggle at those times, and that's because Kobe and Giddey both thrive off driving. People have this, like, this notion about Kobe White, like he's, like this crazy three-point shooter, and it's like he can get hot from three, absolutely. And he, you know, as long as he signs another contract with the Bulls, he's going to be the Bulls' all-time leader in three-point shots made. That's coming right around the corner. It's all but academic at this point. The bigger question is he going to sign a long-term deal here? If he is, that record's probably going to be down about 2 or 3 years. But, you know, the off-ball creation, the off-ball movement, right, the jump shot ability, that's something that this team is sorely missing that I do think can help that offensive identity. But the playing fast, the getting out in transition, the getting buckets, and attacking the rim are things that I think are going to be part of this Bulls' identity offensively, especially when you look at Noah Essanay, Matis Bouzelis, both being two players that are really important to the Bulls' future as things stand right now. You're going to want those guys, as they grow and evolve and change as players, they're going to be important, right, to what this Bulls team is doing on the basketball court. And I'll say this, like, one thing that this team did not really have during the DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, Alex Caruso era was that their style offensively, they had a style, make no sense about it, but it was heavy isolation. And every team is going to have isolation. I've seen a lot of Bulls fans, anytime we have isolation, we're like, oh my God, we're going back to iso ball. It's like, there's not a single team in the NBA that does not have isolation scores or does not need isolation scores. The Houston Rockets were an amazing team last year. They lacked a player that can score in isolation. They went out and got Kevin Durant because they needed an isolation score, right? So you still need that balance. But moving the ball around is going to be part of this Bulls' identity. And I'll tell you what, I like that because you want to get everybody involved. And that's one thing that I think, really, when you look at the second half of play from the Chicago Bulls, even though Giddey and Kobe were on crazy runs, everybody was involved, especially before Trey Jones went down. You had everybody, him, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, everybody was involved in touching the ball. And when you do that, that keeps defenses on their heels. Yeah, you have your main two guys you know your offense is going to start and generate from. But when your whole team is a threat, especially as you get in transition, it makes the defense have to be honest and aware of where everybody is on the basketball court. That's one thing I got to commend Billy Donovan for. And you guys know, I'm not a Billy Donovan. Praise for Billy Donovan is hard to come by for me because some of the things that he lacks at, I think, are important to building to actually winning on the highest stage. But I know the Bulls aren't there yet, so maybe Hayes is being a little bit too tough on him at times there. But Billy Donovan's evolution of the Bulls offense with, at the start of the season, so much of the team still being the same, I got to commend him on that. I talked about that 20-second shot clock that we played with in training camp ended up being really important to this Bulls team. I think that's what you start when you're talking about establishing culture. You're talking about doing things when people come into the building, you have to know this is how you have to play. One thing that I always say, and I always like to go back on, is that Jaime Jaquez, who was a player that took a bit of a step back last year, but when he was in his rookie year and so many people were like, hey, Jaime is having him a really good rookie season. He looks like a guy on the uptick. He said, hey, I had to learn how to be a Miami Heat player first and then play NBA basketball second. And that, to me, that is one of the perfect quotes when you understand that a team has a culture and a style. And I think that's going to be important. And that gives you the vision on how you're building your team, which leads us to our next thing. Are the Bulls building the right roster to the style that they want to play? And I got to give them credit. Yes. Now, we got to wait and see what's happening with Josh Giddey and his contract situation. But for this conversation, I'm assuming Josh Giddey's coming back. If he's not, we'll revamp the conversation. And I even think you're seeing that even if Josh Giddey is not back, you can still keep the same style. It has to change a little bit, but you can still see the same style. But we're assuming Josh Giddey's coming back because it's still the most likely thing. Rebounding defensively. When you look at the Bulls' projected starting lineup, Josh Giddey, Kobe White, whether it's Io, Isaac Okoro, or Kevin Huerter, they're at the three. You got Matis Bouzelis, Nikola Vucevic. That's your projected starting lineup. What's the commonality that you see there? Good rebounding for their position. Matis Bouzelis needs to get a little bit better in that, but we saw towards the end of the season as he started dealing with the physicality better, we started seeing Hey, no, he's starting to be a much better rebounder. You look at the last couple of months of the season, almost 6 rebounds per game over the last couple of months of the season, whereas earlier he was averaging 3. So he almost doubled his rebounds going towards the end of the season. But he's a question, and I can admit that. But other than that, like, really good positional rebounders. And when you get that, all 5 players being good positional rebounders, what does that do? It gives you more opportunities to get out in the fast break. Then what do you need to do in the fast break? You need to have solid passing. When you look at this, almost everybody in that starting lineup are solid to smart passers. Josh Giddey, Kobe, we already know. Iodesumu, amazing passer in transition. That may be what puts him in the starting lineup on that, on top of his defense. We shall see there, even if it is Kevin Huerter. I think Kevin Huerter showed last year he can be a smart passer in the team concepts. Modest, really smart passer. And we already know Vooch, especially when you get in the half court, a really good passer on top of that. Going even into the bench, Trey Jones, really good passer. Zach Collins, a smart passer, right? So you have those type of things. Dalen Terry, really good in transition too. When the half court gets there, it's a little bit shaky at times, right? So you're seeing a commonality in, we want players that can move the ball around, right? So that's a commonality there as well. Attacking the rim, Josh Giddey, Kobe, thrive off driving to the lane. I would assume he was really all over the place with his, and I mean that in a positive way. He can do a little bit of everything offensively. Kevin Huerter's more of a floater. He likes to shoot out there on the outside, provide that spacing. Modest Bouzelas is a lob threat right away, as is Noah Essengay. And Modest Bouzelas, I think even more, is going to have those isolation opportunities next year. Vooch really isn't an attack the rim guy, but he's a post guy that gets his buckets near the rim. So that's really good there as well, right? So you're seeing that, again, that commonality in what we're having here. The Bulls seem to actually have a vision in building the roster. And I'm starting to see that vision. And maybe that was what they had before. When you look at Dalen, when you look at Julian, when you look at Patrick Williams, there was some commonality there as well. But I think, you know, Patrick Williams just never really evolved. He never really grew as a player. Dalen, so how good is Dalen actually going to be as a player? That's still a question there. And same thing with Julian, right? But they still do have some upsides. And then for the bigs, physical bigs, it seems like that's the route that we're going. But the Bulls still need that defensive more big, that roamer, if they're going to have Giddey and Kobe as your backcourt. We don't have that yet. But when you look at it, Vooch, Zach, Lachlan Auburn, right? Now, Lachlan is probably not going to get in an NBA game yet, but there's some commonality in how they can get to the rim. Zach and Lachlan more physical than Vooch, but people like to talk about Vooch as if he's like this big softy. Vooch actually gets physical once he's locked into the game. You just got to feed the big man pretty consistently. So I think that this Bulls team, I'm seeing the vision on the identity that they want to have offensively. The question now is, how are they going to have enough defense to overtake that? Because the Bulls, we lack defenders. Io, Noah Essengay, Isaac Okoro, Dalen, right? Patrick Williams are really the best defenders on the Bulls roster right now. Modest is going to grow defensively, and I think we saw a little bit of that. And now that he's gained the 10 pounds of muscle, maybe that, hopefully that's going to help him be better and more locked in defensively. But you have to have some of that defense to balance out the offense. We've seen some teams be able to offense, but those are teams that are elite offensively. So if the Bulls want to be a winning team, they have to find more defenders and better defenders, which maybe they have done that in growth and things from last year. Or they have to be not just good offensively, not just fast offensively. They have to be elite in offensive efficiency. And that's something that has kind of escaped the Bulls a little bit so far in this build. And we got to see if they can obtain that. But that's just my thought. I've been thinking and ruminating on that for a couple of days since we heard that quote. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit of a higher level. I know that, you know, some of these high-level basketball conversations, people don't got time for, but you guys can let me know how you feel down below. With that said, enough of me yapping. It is Saturday. It means this is your episode today. Let's get into these voicemails, man. This one's from the 773.
Hayes, love your YouTube channel. Just listening to you this morning, I do have a thought on this whole Josh Giddey thing. The fact that Bulls fans are so entrenched on the signing of Josh Giddey as if he were the second coming of Michael Jordan movie or LeBron has us falling into the same exact trap that we have been falling into since the end of the Jordan era, minus the couple years with healthy Derrick Rose. I think we just got to let it go. And if they sign him, great. If they don't sign him, oh well. But it just keeps getting to me, as a Bulls fan, not you, that we continue to fester on this whole Josh Giddey thing when it's Josh Giddey, an unproven NBA player who had a terrific second half of one season. Promising, but it sort of gets me thinking that as a Bulls fan, this hope we have, this investment that we're putting in the signing, into the signing of one player like Josh Giddey, is emblematic of my entire experience as a Bulls fan, the post-Jordan era, whether it be Ron Mercer, Jalen Rose, what's his face, Eddie Curry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just think we all need to stop. Have a good one, bud. Bye-bye.
I don't think that Bulls fans wanting to keep a talented 22-year-old has anything to do with a player being the second coming of LeBron James or Michael Jordan. Like, I think that you went too far into the comparisons there. Like, I get what you're getting at. And make no mistake about it, I get what you're getting at. But you have to understand, this is a Bulls team that's never been a big free agent destination, that is a place right now where they're trying to find talent. So, of course, people are going to be invested in what's happening with the talent that's on this roster. I don't think that it's like Eddie Curry or anything like that. I think that you see a young player in a state of a roster. Like, the thought process, I'm not saying this is what you're saying either, brother, but the thought process that some people have of, oh, if they're not a star, just let them go, let them walk. That's not how you build a team. That's not how you have success in building a team. Where you're at right now, while you're trying to establish yourself and you're trying to get to the place of talent, you want to keep the talent that's on your roster. I don't think that that's a bad thing. You don't get better by letting talented players walk. But to your point, I do think, like, if for some reason the Bulls did let Josh Giddey walk, I mean, the world goes on. It sucks, and it would be, to me, a mismanagement of assets, especially considering you traded Alex Caruso for him. But, I mean, the world goes on. You got to make better decisions going forward. Then you got to keep trying to build your roster. The world ain't going to stop. I don't think it's a bad thing or this thing that people are looking at him like the next coming of Michael Jordan if they want to see Josh Giddey stay in a Bulls uniform. The Bulls have the money. They have the cap space. They have the flexibility right now. Why let a player that's extremely talented and still scratching the surface of who they can be, why let that player go? That's just my personal opinion. But you guys can sound off on how you feel about it at all down below. All right, let's get into the next one, man. Wait, hold on. I want to get back to this. Also, for people who talk so much, and this isn't to the callers, this isn't to you, brother, but for the people that like to think, oh, well, it's just half a season, you're not basing it off just half a season. When you sign a free agent, are you betting off not seeing any basketball? No, you're going and looking at everything that they've done in the NBA. And the fact of the matter is, when Josh Giddey is actually able to play point guard.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
For him to play his game, we have two experiences of that. His second year in OKC, where he averaged 16, 6 and 6, or 8 and 8. And then last season with the Chicago Bulls on the back half of the season, where he averaged almost a triple-double. Then on top of that, even when he was not doing those things, he was still impactful. Being in the 98th percentile of points generated off of, or open shots generated by a player, that's something that's substantial. You can't overlook that, right? And he's 22 years old. But, you know, that's my thought process. But, okay, let's get into the next voicemail, man. This one's from Caden.
What up, Hayes? It's your boy, Caden, again. I actually got two takes. I don't know if I'll call them takes. But I got two takes right now that's, like, heavy on my mind about the Bulls. One is about Patrick Williams. And, yeah, I know we all tired of talking about Patrick Williams. And, you know, we at the end of our rope with him. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt one last time, and it's only because he came into last season with a foot injury, and that could have been the reason he looked so bad. And I don't think he ever really recovered from that foot injury because he was in and out kind of most of the year. Like, So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he took such a defensive slide because of that foot injury. And we'll see what happens this year with Patrick Williams. But this is absolutely the last year that I'm like, okay, like, give this guy a chance to do what he do. And I understand why Bulls fans and Fit, you even said you were kind of out on him. Like, I understand why Bulls fans are out on him. But, like, I think we should give him, you know, at least the first half of the season up till All-Star break. I think we should be patient with him through All-Star break. My second take is, and maybe it's not such a crazy take, but my second take is, I think that the league, everyone in the league, and a lot of the media underrate the Bulls core. Like, I genuinely think that we have a comparable core to some of the better young teams in the league. Obviously, the OKCs and Rockets are kind of out of our stratosphere. But, you know, some of the better young cores in the league, I think we are comparable to those teams. I think things haven't shaken necessarily right for us. But when you really, like, think about it, we spent the whole half a season with veterans who didn't fit our young core on the team. And, like, all of these things, all of these moving pieces happening, and all of this uncertainty, and we still squeaked out 39 wins. So, I'm excited, bro. I'm excited for what the Bulls could be. And I know a lot of people are down on AK, but I don't know, man. He might have sneakily been making really good moves lately, man. But that's just it, bro. Let me know what you think about the Patrick Williams thing, man. Like, as always, thanks for what you do, bro. I'm about it.
Being patient with P. Will, and after, there's been a lot of people recently that's brought up the fact that P. Will started off with a foot injury. And that, and in fairness, maybe that is what we saw, the defensive slide from him last year. Maybe that is why we saw a little bit of that. And, you know, Patrick Williams is going to be on this roster. But I do think as the Bulls keep adding more forwards, it's making him less and less prioritized. So he's going to have to really lock in if he's going to want to be on this team. And, you know, be patient with him. Okay. I mean, let's see what happens with him. Like I said, at this point where I'm at with P. Will, it just comes down to I'm not expecting much. If I'm surprised, if I'm wrong, if he comes out and shows us something, great. I'm not going to have any problem with that. I'm just not expecting it, hoping for it or anymore when it comes to P. Will. Just if you're going to show us, show us. Now, as far as the Bulls' young core, let's look over that for a second. The Bulls have Josh Giddey, Miles Bouzelis, Noah Essengay, Julian Phillips, Dalen Terry, P. Will as players under 23, if I'm not caught off on the ages. You have then Kobe and Io that are a little bit older than those guys, right? I guess you can include Jalen Smith in that as well, as he's still a fairly young player himself. But that's it. That's a solid potential core. But I think you've seen kind of more proof of concept with some of the other young cores. Julian and Dalen are still guys that are still really proving what they can be at the NBA level. You know, P. Will is a player that right now most people are disappointed by his output. Modest is a player that's on the upside. We all like to see what he's played 1 year so far. Noah hasn't officially taken an NBA court yet, and we don't know if Josh Giddey's going to be back in a Bulls uniform. So we have some talent, some young talent on this team, and there's still talent that's still trying to find their way. But we'll see how this core is viewed after the season for sure. As far as AK's making some solid moves, yeah, I think that is more than what people are willing to give him credit for, but he's going to have to show it off and do it consistently. Because one thing with AK and that we've seen so far is that, you know, he made some solid moves, and then he stayed stagnant for 3 years, right? You can't stay stagnant, so he has to keep it up. And then I do think some Bulls fans will start coming around on what AK has done or not done, right? But all right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Rob.
Hey, Hayes. It's Big Rob. Many blessings to you, my brother, to you and your family, and my condolences to you as well as the family. So, you know, give me my prayers with you. I wanted to say this to you. I was just watching you talk about Patrick Williams, and one thing I will say about him is that I think I'm more disappointed in him because you can see he has the potential, but then potential after 5 years is like, well, do you even want to be successful? And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful in any way, but taking it from this approach, if any job you see the Julian Phillips, you see Noah Essengay, you see them just slowly just getting more forwards consistently, and then you're seeing yourself slowly being pushed out The only way I can see him even getting into the rotation is staying in rotation unless he literally is busting people's ass in training camp. That'd be the only way I can see him being convincing. And even then, I just don't think that's his personality. And I don't think he has that drive. And I hate saying that about a player, but at the end of the day, he hasn't shown anything to us and to himself that he wants it. And if I don't even care about the money at this point. Obviously, when people say he's one of the worst contracts in the NBA, I mean, that's an opinion. There's plenty of players I think that don't deserve the money that they have because they haven't lived up to the contract. But that's neither here or there. My thing is, like, he has to show he wants to be in the NBA, that he wants to be involved, that he can carve a role for himself. He doesn't have to be an all-star, but he damn sure can be reliable, like you said, 3 and D. But if he's not willing to put that effort in being that guy, then it's not going to be too long until he's out the league. I hate to say that to some players because he's so young still, but he's got in time. He's been given opportunities. I just feel like it's a little too late, at least in my opinion. And if I'm wrong, please let me know. You know, I respect your opinion. Many blessings to you. God bless. Peace.
P-Will will have to come into training camp killing it. And he has to come into training camp locked in. He has to come into training camp showing that he really wants it. And maybe that's there in him. Again, I at this point in my personal journey with being a Bulls fan, I'm over P. Will. But that doesn't mean that I'm out on P. Will, right? Those are two different things. I'm over P. Will, not out on P. Will. I still do think that there is some talent where P. Will can absolutely help a basketball team. He just has to be more consistent in his execution and in wanting it and in going out there and attacking. And so we'll see if P. Will can do that. You know, some people blame it on coaching, but I look at it like this. Modest came in to basically the same situation that P. Will did with the same amount of shots, and you definitely felt the impact that Modest Buzelis made more than what P. Will made. So for people that's like, oh, it's coaching. Coaching didn't prioritize him. Modest wasn't prioritized either. So, you know, I can only give so much excuses for things like that, but if P. Will comes into training camp, he's going to have to earn it because there are people that are going to be looking at. Noah Essengay is not coming into training camp with the mindset, oh, I'll be in the G League. He's coming into the training camp with the mindset of, I'm about to show these coaches, no, you need to play me. And if Noah does crack that rotation, that's going to be less and less opportunities for P. Will. So we shall see what happens, Rob. But great voicemail. All right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Reggie.
Hey, hey. This is Reginald calling in after seeing your video about Josh Giddey and his contract negotiation. 10 million is a lot to be apart. And while I understand the Bulls wanting the low ball, I think we all know that he was never going to sign it for 20 million. I would have offered like a 5-year, $120 million deal right off the bat. You know, work it up to, you know, 27 million a year. But if he would have moved off for 30, I probably would have agreed to it, but instead of 5 years, 150, I probably would have done like 2+1 with a team option on the third. You know, this way when he's like 26, he's a free agent, and to probably sign like a $50 million deal. But if AK is holding out, you know, to draw some big name free agent, you know, in next year's free agency, I don't like that idea because most of the guys who are going to be available are going to be on the older side. They're going to be looking to be a part of a championship team and not a rebuilding team because that's exactly what the Bulls are going to be. Now, I don't want to say that, you know, the Bulls are a terrible place to go for free agents, but, you know, our history, it just says that the Bulls and its front office has a terrible reputation. And that reputation is, this is not a winning franchise. And post-Jordan, I can't say that they're wrong. You know, we've had terrible head coaching. We've had terrible front office. We've had ownership that is extremely cheap. And despite having one of the best fan bases, it's hard to overcome all of that. But what do you think? Do you think the Bulls front office and ownership has made it too difficult for NBA free agents to go there, or is it something else? Thanks for hearing me out.
Something that Bulls fans, I don't think, acknowledge enough when they have these conversations is that the Bulls are never have never really been a big free agent destination. Never really been a big free agent destination. And so because of that, how you treat your players in the negotiations, it matters. And it matters to how you're viewed around the league. I remember Dwayne Wade at one point was talking about, like, you know, even way before he signed with the Bulls, he was like, yeah, all I know is that some of my favorite players aren't in with that organization, and, like, raised questions. Like, there have been times in agents. I think people forget that agents talk to each other as well. Like, if the Bull, if you have a tough negotiation with your player, and agents like, yeah, you know, shit, negotiating with the Bulls was fucking terrible. Like, those type of things play a part into it. So I think how you treat players matter in negotiations. And even if they are on the way out, how you treat those players on the way out matters as well. That goes to that culture thing. The Bulls don't have that. So, of course, it's going to be maximized and things like that as it goes forward. And that's part of the problem with the franchise. But, you know, we'll see if they can start figuring that out. But, you know, how you treat your players matter. And because the Bulls have never really been a free agent destination, that is why keeping your players that show some promise is even more important to a lot of Bulls fans, at least in my opinion. But you guys can let me know how you feel down below. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for the day. This one's from Shay.
What's up, fans? Look, a lot of people are talking about Nikola Vucevic, and they don't believe that he'll be traded or no team wants him. Look, let me tell y'all something. 18-11 is, or 13-11, whatever he averages, it's very hard to do, especially for big man nowadays. And I believe that a team such as the Golden State Warriors, due to the fact that they don't have an inside presence, a team like the, and I'm going to keep harping on this, the Indiana Pacers, due to the fact that they don't really have any inside depth. And a lot of teams that do need a lot of inside depth to use a guy like Nikola Vucevic. Now, look, I'm not saying Vooch is the end-all, be-all, and I know he's a lot older, but 17-11 is really hard to come by with centers nowadays, and that, and I believe a lot of teams, such as the Indiana Pacers, especially with knowing that they don't have Tyrese Halliburton, and Pascal Siakam is the only person that can keep them heads above water, and as all to say words, knowing that they don't really have much outside presence and much rebounding when it comes to their big man, even though they have Al Horford, but Al Horford is not a super rebounding type of big man. They could use him. So I don't believe that AK is smart to trade him the right way, get the right assets, but I do believe that there is a market out there for Nikola Vucevic. We just don't know it yet, or AK hasn't tested the right market. But that's just me. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
I don't think Vooch has a market right now, and I think that's indicated by, you know, remember we heard that the AK laid some groundwork for an offseason move? No move happened. But I do think, to your point, that as the season goes on and as you approach the trade deadline and teams are gearing up and getting ready for what they think are going to be long playoff and maybe championship runs, could look at Nikola Vucevic as an expiring contract, a relatively decent contract, a little over $20 million, and say, hey, that's a guy that if we can add now before we go into this playoff run, could definitely help us. Vooch isn't the terrible player that some people make him out to be. He actually is at 18-11 on really good efficiency, and only taking 14 shots to get that done. That's good production for a big. And so I think that, like, yeah, he has his defensive limitations. Absolutely. Make no mistake about that. Those are there. But I think as the season goes on, and a team is looking to add something specific to their team before a playoff run, Vooch and his offense could be something that they look to add. So great points there from Shay. But that's my time for today, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to Mailbag Day. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.